What Muhammad Ali meant to American Arabs and to me. June 10, 2016. I first met Muhammad Ali in the late 1960s as a teenager bagging groceries in a food store on Chicago's racially divided Southeast Side. That was a jewel. I knew him as a TV celebrity, but when he walked into the store, he would acknowledge my Palestinian heritage and inspire me. Ali was tall, and he had this uninhibited personality, unafraid to say whatever he felt. It came out a lot as a boxer to the public, but to me, it was the fact that he would single me out as the person he wanted to carry his groceries to his car, a brand new luxurious Lincoln Mark II, because I was Palestinian. Ali was always accompanied by a bodyguard who was Palestinian. His last name was Hassan, from the village of Batunia near Palestine, Jerusalem. A short, heavy-set man who told Ali I was a Palestinian too. The bodyguard's sister, Saluka Hassan, was a friend of my mother. Palestinians in Chicago were a small but closely knit community, and we knew each other well. I didn't understand the significance of what Ali was doing at the time, but I knew it was because I was Palestinian Arab. He would come by almost every week that I was there at the Jewel, and the other clerks always wondered why he would go out of his way to tell the cashier to send me over to carry his groceries. He wouldn't really speak. I was just a kid still in school, and I didn't understand the depth of the politics of what it meant to be a Palestinian or Arab or even Muslim. Even though I am Christian, most Americans then and now believe I am Muslim, and I'm proud of that. Each time I put his groceries in the car's trunk, he would tip me a dollar, which back then was like getting a $10 tip, and he would say, "Salam alaikum." I would reply out of habit, "Alaikum as-salam." Muhammad Ali was one of the first high-profile American celebrities to stand by the Palestinians and the Arabs, and that made us feel like we could win. Ali championed and spoke out not only against anti-black racism, but also against the bias against Arabs and the oppression experienced by Palestinians. He did so at a time when that could destroy a career, in the wake of the humiliation that many Arabs and Palestinians felt after the June 1967 Six-Day War with Israel. Anti-Arab propaganda had intensified in America and was reflected in books and films that began with Exodus, the Leon Uris propaganda published in 1958 that was turned into an Otto Preminger Hollywood movie in 1960. Exodus was a twisted, distorted, anti-Arab narrative that glorified Israel as the victim and the Arabs as bloodthirsty and vicious terrorist child killers. It starred Paul Newman, one of the country's most popular actors who happened to be Jewish American. Muhammad Ali was our counterpunch to that bigoted bias and anger in Hollywood and the media. Ali gave us a sense that we could win, despite the lies, the distortions, and the racism that dominated the American media in newspapers, television, and at the movies. Ali did not pull his punches when it came to defending the Palestinians, even in America's growing environment of anti-Arab hatred. In 1974, Ali toured Palestinian refugee camps in Lebanon, which was unheard of at the time by a major American figure. It was inspiring, though, just for the visit, but even more so for his powerful words that he expressed at press conferences so all Americans could hear him. Ali declared his support for the Palestinians, saying, "In my name and the name of all Muslims in America, I declare support for the Palestinian struggle to liberate their homeland and oust the Zionist invaders." He never abandoned us, even as his celebrity grew and he became the country's heavyweight boxing champion. In 1985, 3 years after the Israeli invasion of Lebanon, and another difficult time for Arabs in America because of the growing anti-Arab propaganda that dominated the media, Ali traveled to Israel to advocate for the release of Lebanese and Palestinians who were being held prisoner there. The year 1985 was a high point in American animosity against Arabs and Palestinians. That year, pro-Israel terrorists bombed the offices of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, ADC, in Santa Ana, California, killing its director, the high-profile and very vocal Palestinian activist Alex Oda. Although the mainstream American media covered Ali's rise in the boxing world and the controversies, including his refusal to serve during the Vietnam War in the 1960s, they mostly ignored or downplayed his criticism of Israel and his support for the Palestinians. Muhammad Ali's devotion to justice for Palestinians, Arabs, and Muslims won him the love and admiration of many Arabs, like my parents, Palestinian Christians whose families had fled their homes in Jerusalem in 1947 and in Bethlehem in 1967 in the face of Israel's military aggression. In the spring of 1971, I remember my father ordering the family to join him in the living room to listen as celebrity sports broadcaster Howard Cosell narrated the fight of the century taking place at Madison Square Garden, where Ali battled Joe Frazier for the very first time. I sat there with my mother, my older brother, and a younger sister and cheered as Cosell described Ali's punches. We were saddened when he lost to Frazier, who Ali accused of being a, quote, dumb tool of the white establishment. When Ali lost the fight to Frazier, who was favored by the three boxing judges at the time, my mother almost cried. We all felt bad, but my dad said that Ali was, quote, the champion, and he would come back and win one day. Ali did come back a few years later, defeating Frazier at Madison Square Garden on January 28, 1974, and then defeating George Foreman in Kinshasa, Zaire on October 30, 1974. The Ali-Foreman bout was nicknamed the Rumble in the Jungle. We continue to follow Ali's rise in American boxing and as one of the most recognized American celebrities. While serving active duty during the Vietnam War, I listened to Ali's fights on my transistor radio. There were only two other Arabs serving on my Air Force base, the Asi brothers, Palestinian Muslims. We were punching in the air after Ali defeated Frazier and then Foreman, as if Ali were leading our fight to reclaim Palestine. It wasn't easy to be so openly pro-Arab. We had just come out of the 1973 Arab-Israeli War, and many soldiers in our unit would constantly ask us who we would fight for if America attacked the Arab world. We're Americans, we said, never answering the question directly. After being honorably discharged from the U.S. military, I launched an English-language Arab newspaper called the Middle Eastern Voice. Printer after printer refused to publish the American Arab newspaper. The only group willing to publish it was the Bilalian News, which was owned by the Nation of Islam, where Ali had become one of its vocal leaders, along with the more radical Malcolm X, who had been killed a decade earlier. Despite being honorably discharged from the military, the FBI began an investigation into my activities as an American Arab. The FBI report asserted on the first of 40 pages that I was suspected of terrorist activities, but it concluded after 2 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars of wasted tax money that I was just an American proud of my Arab heritage who wanted to help his community. That inspired me to write my humor book, I'm Glad I Look Like a Terrorist, Growing Up Arab in America, which shared with readers in a humorous way what it was like growing up Arab in this country. In May 1976, I was the only media to cover the visit of Sultan bin Mohammed al-Qasimi of Sharjah, United Emirates, who helped fund the building of mosques in Chicago. Sheikh al-Qasimi toured a storefront mosque, which had been the target of much anti-Arab racism. greeting Al-Qasimi at the airport that morning before touring Chicago's Muslim and Arab community was now the world's heavyweight champion, Muhammad Ali. And he was accompanied by an entourage of the Nation of Islam, who owned the only printing press supporting my newspaper. As Ali solidified his success and achievement, he became more and more acceptable to mainstream Americans. But before it was popular for Americans to praise Ali as the greatest of all time, America's Arabs proudly stood in his shadow and embraced him as their champion of justice. I'm Ray Hanania, and this is my column podcast. Visit rayhanania.com online for more information.